Greetings, friend, and welcome to the Between the Covers podcast, where we're working every day to remove the self-limiting beliefs that are preventing us from becoming the heroes of our own stories. I am Marcus Barr, and today I wanted to talk about something that, at least where I come from, is something that is often frowned upon, and that is that it is normal for us to question. A great example of this is for those who grew up in the Christian tradition like I did, if there was something about the Bible or something that was said by the pastor or preacher in your church that you didn't really understand or you didn't agree with, and if you ever started to question that, oftentimes, I would probably say more often than not, the response would be something along the lines of, you just need to believe, you just need to trust, you need to go along with what is being said by this person who is in power and authority within the church. And with the number of stories that I hear and the podcasts that I listen to that are talking about these kind of issues, what ends up happening is there is a culture of harm that ends up being created. And I wish I could say something different, but I have heard from so many individuals about spiritual abuse and what happened to them because of just going with the flow and not trusting their bodies in what was actually going on. In fact, that's going to be a later podcast where we're going to talk about trusting your body. And one of the things that is so common is how it is natural for us to question. That's how we learn about the world around us. That's how we learn about ourselves and we learn about others. All you have to do is take a look at children, especially young children that are still figuring out the world around them, and they are so full of questions. Questions that go down to as simple as, why is the sky blue? Though I guess that's not really a simple question, for at least I would struggle to answer that question if a kid asked me, why is the sky blue? It has to do with gases in the atmosphere and wavelengths that are coming through from the sun's rays, and it's complicated. But trying to figure out the world around them by asking these questions. Why is the sky blue? Why do I sneeze whenever pepper comes into my nose? Why does the dog lick itself? I say as I see Odin in the background of my video here. We ask all of these questions. We're constantly asking, constantly digging, trying to determine why things work the way that they do. And this is something that is inherently good. It is a good thing for us to ask questions. And then something happens as we get older, where I'm trying to figure out how I want to take this, because there's so many different ways that this can go. I think about some of my own experience where I would be in school and I would ask a question and maybe the teacher would give like an eye roll about, really? How did you not figure out the answer to this based on what we are talking about? In fact, there is a story that comes to my mind, and it's been coming up a lot, and I don't know why it keeps coming up. Maybe this is why. Maybe it wants to be told on this podcast. I don't know. This is where we're going, though. When I was in high school, I took a material science class, and it was the most fun science class I'd ever taken. We had labs that we would do that would take us into a joined room. I mean, we made sterling silver rings, we made stained glass sculptures, and it was much more hands-on than just the typical textbook kind of science classes. And I'd been wanting to take this class since I was a freshman. And I finally got into it when I was a senior. There is this one day when I was in class. The teacher was talking with us about epoxies. And I remember he was telling us about how some epoxies bind. And some of them, you needed to have another chemical agent in order for them to bind. This is how well I can remember this stuff, if you'll notice here. The other part of it is that you needed to melt the epoxy. And you had to melt the epoxy and melt the material that you were trying to adhere it to. He was just asking questions to reinforce. How would you bind two epoxies together? And the student raised their hand and, you know, use whatever the chemical binding agent is. And he's like, correct. And now how would you bind an epoxy to a metal? And I rose my hand to answer. And then he picked me to answer the question. And then in that moment, my brain just went, wait, I know what the answer is to this question. You're supposed to melt the epoxy and melt the metal, and then you combine them together. And then once they cool down, they will be bound together. And in my head, the only thing I could think of was trying to bind this epoxy to something like iron or one of those metals that has an incredibly high melting point, and it just scrambled my brain. I literally could not conceive that you would take something that's effectively like a plastic or something, and then you would melt it and then combine it to molten metal in order for them to bind together. So my brain was like, oh, you know what? That's probably not how it works. You have to use whatever this binding agent is. And that was the answer that I gave, even though I was kind of like, oh, wait, you have to use a, like what, a resin? I forget what it is now. And after I had said that answer, I remember the teacher looking at me, and this is someone who has a lot of experience in science. I live pretty close to a nuclear facility, and there are a lot of science and engineering companies that work within these nuclear factories. And this guy, he'd worked within one of these companies for decades, and he was smart. He knew his stuff about science. And when I gave that answer, I remember his shoulders slumped down, and he even like shook his head, and he's like, are you guys even listening to what I'm saying? No. You're supposed to melt them in order for that to work. And I felt so humiliated by that, that guess what? It made me less likely to raise my hand and even ask a question about something that I didn't understand. In this same class, when we were doing this thing with epoxies, he was showing us what happens and the chemical reaction that takes place between these two parts that I know now what we're talking about here is resin, because this is something that Libby does all the time, is you would have two parts that you would have to combine in equal measure. And then as you mix them together, a chemical reaction takes place within them, and then they start to harden. But because of this reaction, they would heat up. So this teacher is holding a paper cup and has mixed these two parts, and he stirs it together, and he keeps the stirring stick in there. And he's going around, or rather, no, he didn't walk around. He had us come up in order to take a look at what was going on. And I remember looking at that, and I even like reached out and I touched the cup, and it was hot. And he's holding a glove so that he doesn't burn himself while he's doing this. And I legitimately looked at him and said, how is the cup not burning? How is the paper not burning? It was one of those that was wax coated, so you could see flakes of the wax coming off as they're getting heated and just falling off. And once again, this teacher, he kind of looks at me and almost has like a sad expression on his face. And he's like, oh, it's not getting nearly that hot. I didn't know that. I honestly didn't know that at that time. There's that book, Fahrenheit 451, that I'm reminded of quite often, that 451 degrees Fahrenheit is the flash point of paper. I did not realize that this, it was hot. To me, it was hot, and it should have burned the paper, but it wasn't. So I didn't realize that it wasn't even getting close to the temperature where it was going to burn this paper. And yet, I felt so judged by this teacher and how he responded that I couldn't really speak up a lot in his classes. I was too scared to. I was too scared of being humiliated because I was already feeling like I was dumb while all of this was going on. Here we are talking about how it's natural for us to question. Guess who now knows what the flash point of paper is? Guess who can now remember that you need to have these two pieces. I can't remember what the other one is. Maybe it was resin. But you need to have these two different pieces melted in order for them to combine together, and then they bind together, and they're going to be together forever at that point. Guess who can remember that now? Because I asked some questions, because I was curious about what was going on. And yet, how much more could I have learned if the idea of me asking questions wasn't stigmatized with me being stupid or me being unintelligent or ignorant? In all honesty, the only way for us to not be ignorant is we ask questions and we get information. We do research. We look it up. We try things out. And we can see this a lot in how we want to learn a new hobby. It takes quite a bit of research. You got to ask a ton of questions in order for us to get the foundations so that we can test and play and explore in order to figure out exactly what's going to work best for us in whatever this hobby happens to be. I wish I had an easy answer for why this is stigmatized as much as it is. I think what a lot of this comes down to, and this is pure speculation on my part, is we are often asking questions of individuals or to individuals who are worn out and exhausted because of the stresses and the anxieties of the day. And asking questions is something that is not encouraged. Go figure it out on your own. Go entertain yourself. Go do something else and stop bothering me. I think a great example of someone who does this very well in my life is actually my mom. And in her job, she has told me so many times about how her office is effectively just like a rotating door where people are coming in all the time. There's questions about this, there's questions about that, there's all of these things that are coming in that they want her input on. And though, when she tells me, in all honesty, sometimes she's just like, okay, we can do this. And yet, at the same time, she fields all of those questions. She answers them. She is generous enough to give her time in order to hear their stories. She herself asks questions in order to get down to the truth, in order to figure out what's really going on here. And that's something that is very admirable. I appreciate how when I am going through something that is genuinely difficult, that instead of her lecturing me to tell me what to do, she asks questions. She becomes curious. I have some people in my life, they don't do that. If you are finding yourself asking questions about some things that you grew up and you're just told, no, this is how it works. One of the things that I want to encourage you on is that it is so normal to ask these questions. If you're asking these questions, then that likely means that something isn't working for you. One of the things I'm being reminded of is something that I heard several months ago. And that is how people of my generation, where I am a millennial, I'm on the older end of the millennial group, I guess. Kind of depends on who's saying what years the millennials are. But millennials and individuals like myself, we're like the first generation where we are finding out that capitalism is not working for us. There are so many people that are asking questions about the system that the United States is governed by. And we're like, this isn't working. The system is not working. And so we're asking questions. Those who are in the power and the authority are typically those who are saying, don't ask those questions. We don't want you to ask those questions. Why? Because the system works for us. And yet, if you are asking these kinds of questions, whether we're talking about your faith, whether we're talking about your culture, whether we're talking about your family, whatever you are asking questions about, unless it's something like a specific hobby or a specific interest, if you're asking questions about something because you're experiencing pain from it, because you're feeling shame or you're feeling guilty for something, then likely it's because it's not working for you. If it's not working for you, it is completely normal to just ask questions because we want to figure out, is there something better? Is there something more valuable, something more sustainable, something that is better for myself and for my community than what I'm being told is the status quo of this is just how it's done? It is normal, my friend, to ask questions. It's normal to try and figure out why things aren't working. It's normal to want to take a deeper dive into your life, your experiences, and I'm once again being reminded of how many times I talk with clients and they share a story with me about something that they experienced as a child, and to them it was just normal. That's just what their family did. That's how it was. And I have to look at them and say, that's not normal. That's not how it should have been. When we're talking about those who have experienced neglect, or those who have been verbally abused, or even physically or sexually abused, for some people who have had those experiences, they look at these as like, well, that's just how life was. And I have to tell them, that's not how it should have been. That's not normal. Granted, I'm also reminded of who's to say what's normal, because everything that is supposed to be normal seems like it rarely, if ever, happens anywhere. So maybe what's not normal is actually what's normal. Again, I'm not the one who's going to say what's normal. All I can do is dive into my own story, continue to ask questions, and if something isn't working for me, become curious as to why. And if you're around people that are encouraging you not to ask these questions, maybe they're not the best people to be around. And that's just my own honest assessment on the matter. There are some people who used to be very near and dear to me that I will not go into a deep conversation with anymore, because I don't trust them to be curious. What I can expect is judgment and criticism and a sanctimonious belief that they're the ones who have the answers. And so I should just sit down, shut up, and listen up. And I'm not going to put up with that. What I will do, though, is I'll continue to ask questions. I'll continue to explore. I'll continue to do what I can in order to grow as an individual. Grow as an individual who is curious, who is empathetic, who is compassionate to others. And continue to look into and explore the nature of so much hatred that's around me and in the world. Didn't realize it was going to go that way in the end. Though I'm not disappointed. I'm being candid. This is where I'm at. This is what is important to me. I hope that you also are able to discover what is important to you and find the safe places where you can ask these questions. I'm so grateful for my friends who hold the space for me to ask questions about a great many things that I am wrestling with. And they continue to hold the space and just let me ask. And if I ask questions of them and I want their specific opinion, they're happy to give them to me. Sometimes it's like, I just got to get this out. So continue to ask questions. Continue to be curious. And be compassionate with yourself as you are possibly unraveling some very deep-seated beliefs inside of you that just aren't working for you anymore. And until next time, live strong for today. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you like what you're hearing and you're interested in working with me, there is a link to my website in the show notes and also a link just to schedule a free 50-minute one-on-one call with me. Let's get the conversation started. Also, please rate and review this podcast so more people are able to find it. Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to talking with you again soon.